This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
And happy New Year's Eve. Right before the break, we were doing In Other News, Kim and Ethan. We were talking about how much were pilots making. You said it's one of the most dangerous jobs, $197,000 a year, something like
that? Yeah, $198,000 was the average salary, roughly, and it was ranked the 10th most dangerous job.
Okay, one of the 10th most dangerous job.
Yeah.
Well, clearly it can be. All right, so over the last couple of days, pay stubs have appeared on social media. Can't verify them. Don't know whose they are, except that one of them's a Southwest pilot, and one's an American Airlines pilot. You see these things?
I heard about it, but I didn't see the number.
All right.
Oh, I saw it.
Now, you know Southwest Airlines pilots just got a huge raise. I think it was last year, which is one of the reasons they're, you know, sticking it to us with every little piece of luggage and all that stuff. Now, you knew we were going to pay for that, right? I'm not taking a thing away from them. God bless these people. They have our lives in their hands. I'm not criticizing. A lot of these guys were former military pilots. I know some of these guys who fly the bus, as they call it. If you used to fly an F-15 or 16 or whatever, you're going, that's the bus. Okay, I'll fly the bus. But they retire and they go do that. Okay, so here's this particular. Now, this not everybody, but this particular airline pilot, $300,000 last year. Okay, $300,000, just saying.
I thought the number was supposed to be really, really low, and that's why everyone was saying they're way underpaid. But no, you're saying they're way overpaid.
Yeah, it's hard for me to read this paycheck, all the details of it. But yeah, apparently... $300,000. I hope that's not for 2 weeks. I know it can't be.
I'm quitting my job if it is.
I learned how to fly. Yeah, I'm looking at this stuff, and it's hard for me to read it, but I'm thinking, the earnings, that says 300. Okay, this is the year to date, so this is the year. Okay, $300,000. The overtime, vacation, this, that, and the other. Okay, 300. Okay, that's nothing. The American Airlines pilot says, yeah, I'll see your paycheck and raise you one. So the American Airlines pilot, who I don't know who posted this stuff, maybe the wife, maybe the ex-wife, maybe the pilot, I don't know. Their earnings total year to date, okay, from 11/16. Well, this is the year to date, obviously. Okay, for a year. $457,000.
Oh my gosh. I wholeheartedly support them getting paid really well because, like you said, they have our lives in their hands.
I do too.
And they go through a lot of training to get that pilot license. But yeah, that's a bit excessive, especially when we know we're all now paying more for Southwest with the bags and stuff like that. See, okay, I'm just a skeptic now, and any time something like that is posted online, I'm like, okay, was that AI? Did someone put, like, the rage, remember they call it, like, the rage bait or something like that, where they're just trying to anger you? Has any pilot, even if someone did come out and say, yes, I'm a pilot, I can attest to the fact that that's roughly what we're paid, then you have to question if they're a bot. It's so hard to believe anything that you're seeing online these days.
It's absolutely true. That's absolutely, I've not seen anybody come out and repudiate this. I've not seen that at this point, other than, and most people are saying, you know what? Hey, they have their lives, you know, our lives in their hands. Of course, they're going to make decent money. So $360 an hour, the American Airlines pilot was making. This is flight hours only. This is a American Airlines Boeing 737 captain.
Well, that's a drop in the bucket compared to a lot of these athletes are paid. I know that's very different, but still, I mean.
That's true, compared to what they're getting paid in daycare in
Yeah, really, the Somalis who are doing nothing, they're making far more than these guys.
Yeah, how much are the daycare workers making in Minnesota? $360 an hour, that's not, yeah, exactly.
Have you seen the videos on that? The, like, hilarious, AI has just, they've had a heyday with it.
Right, when the one where he knocks in the door and then there's Tim Walz in there with all the money. You're talking about those videos?
Yeah, but it has like Ilhan Omar and like AOC and Tim Walz, and it says that they're graduates of the Quality Learning Center, which, by the way, within 24 hours, maybe like 48 hours of that video going viral, did you see they got new signage?
Right, they did get new signage.
Now they spelled it right, Learning Center.
I love the fact that Trump is pulling all the money for all these centers until he gets some clarification. $185 million a year apparently goes to Minnesota. But they're going to miss that.
But that's a lot of money, yes. But it's kind of a drop in the bucket when you think about the fact that some of these daycares, these illegitimate daycares in Minnesota, were getting $3 million per year. And there's supposedly dozens and dozens of them. So think about how much money, taxpayer money, is going to them. It's insane.
If I lived in Minnesota, I'd be flipping out at this point. I mean, there's waste in every state. I don't care where you live. There's waste and graft and all. I get all that. But my gosh, unbelievable. And it's going basically, it appears to be going to the Somalis. It appears to be funding terrorism, and it appears to be funding Democrats at the end of the day.
How many people, lawmakers, had some sort of a kickback to basically be quiet about what was going on to streamline the process to make it that much easier for these businesses to get their license and not have to actually do anything? When push came to shove and they had to do some sort of a check on them, they kind of were like, okay, we'll just say we checked and we really didn't. And here you go. Here's your $3 million for fiscal year 2025.
Well, it doesn't take much to get people to shut up. That's why they call it hush money, right?
Right.
They give you some kind of money to get you to stop complaining about it. Here, we'll funnel this into your reelection campaign. Because that really is one of the things they hold over all politicians. Once they get elected, the only thing they want to do is stay there. They don't care who's butt they have to kiss, whose ring they have to kiss. They want to stay there, whichever legislative body they're in. They love power more than anything else in the world. And they'll do whatever they have to do. They get in there to find out who's in charge here. It's like going to prison. Who's in charge here? Whose butt do I have to kiss to make my life easier while I'm here? That's what they do.
Yeah. Well, as it relates to money, I mean, the Bible talks about how you can't have two masters, right? And a lot of people, their master is money. And people will do really crazy things to get it or to keep it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I don't begrudge these pilots this money. I really don't. I mean, they've worked very hard. The ones I know who were used to be in the Air Force and busted their butt and served their country at far lower amounts of money than this. That's the whole thing. They were so underpaid as Air Force pilots, doing amazing things. A friend of mine was the former commander of the Thunderbirds, and he just left and he's going to go fly the bus.
So when you say the bus, you're talking about commercial jets?
Yeah, okay. That's what they call
it. I assumed.
Yeah, that's what they call the jet. But yeah, he's an amazing, amazing guy. Just incredible. And he was just recently left as a commander of the Thunderbirds, and just an amazing guy. His wife's amazing too. And that's what he's going to do. He's going to fly the bus and, you know, darn it, make up for all the money the Air Force didn't pay you. I don't know how much they pay these pilots, but I know it's nothing compared to this.
I think it'd be better to just go work for a private company and fly shipments of different materials back and forth. And you don't have to deal with all the... I mean, it'd be nice to be with people, but there's so much chaos on some of these planes nowadays.
Yeah, I'd rather fly packages around. I have a friend who worked at... he was an Air Force pilot many years ago, retired. And right when he was getting ready to retire, one of his friends said, hey, you know, there's a company hiring. It's brand new. Have you heard of it? It's called Federal Express.
Wow. So, can you imagine like how big that is now?
Talk about some seniority this guy had, right? This guy has a really nice house on Lake of the Ozarks. Yes,
well,
he does.
Well, you could also be a private pilot, you know, but a lot of these liberals who are all the whole environmentalist type thing, you know.
Yeah.
They're the ones who have the private jets, like Prince Harry and what's her face? And they fly around, but didn't they get some award for only having two children or something because it was better for the environment? And yet they have a private jet. That makes sense.
These two are so irrelevant. Can I just say for a second, I feel bad for Prince Harry. I really do. He married this woman and she basically drags him around like an ornament. She would be nothing if she wasn't married to him. And he has no business anymore. He's no job. You know, a lot of the things he used to do in the UK, he can't do anymore. He's being dragged around like a piece of furniture or like an ornamental purse.
I'm sick of hearing about them. However, I will say I do have a little bit of empathy for her because the media does rip her to shreds. Every story about Princess Kate is glowing about her.
I know.
Every story about, and I still am forgetting her name.
Meghan Markle.
Thank you, Meghan Markle. Every story about Meghan Markle is awful. I'm not saying she's the most amazing person ever, but she does get put through the ringer in media.
Well, you know, Katie may be a Stepford wife, but she never sets a foot wrong, as they say in the UK. She just doesn't. She does
We don't know that. We don't hear about it because the media doesn't report on it.
That's true. But when she's out in public, I mean, can you imagine being that way? Like never, ever saying the wrong thing, never doing the wrong thing in public, ever?
That's why I would never want to be in that role. Everyone looked at these weddings and how beautiful they are and all the quote unquote important people who were there. And you're just sitting here thinking, wow, how amazing would it be to be a princess? No, it would be terrible to have everyone dictating every little thing you do and say, and you have to go to this event and that event. And oh, it'd be awful.
I wouldn't want to do it. But you know how much money her husband made last year? I saw this morning. This is how vacuous I can be. I saw the story about how much Prince Charles, what's his name, her husband? William,
yeah.
Made $30 million last year.
Wow.
Tell me what he did again. He showed up. He got in a limo and he showed up. And he got in a limo and he showed up. And he got in a limo and he showed up. And that, did I miss anything?
I think that about sums it up.
Okay. These people. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I don't think the Brits like him that much. Most of them, I think the media, I don't think it's him they don't like. I think it's just that the a lot of the Brits, I ran into some tourists a while back, my husband and I think we're in Montana, I ran into some people who are from the UK, and I said, so what do you think about, you know, Meghan and Harry? And they kind of laughed and they said, we're not royalists. I had never heard that phrase before. We're not into it, basically. Now that's one couple, I realize, but I don't know how much people are into what these people do. Can you imagine being under that kind of scrutiny every day? I wouldn't want that.
No. Donald Trump gets so much. Can you imagine the scrutiny that Donald Trump feels from everybody?
He likes it, though.
He does stir the pot.
God bless him. He's the right guy for the job because he doesn't get pissy about the fact that, you know, the downside of the job. He doesn't get mad about it.
Well, he does get mad and he does tend to hold a grudge, but he doesn't get so mad that he's going to lose sleep over it.
Right.
But he will tell him off. And sometimes not maybe in the best way. Sometimes,
definitely
Trump.
Not.
Keep your mouth shut.
That's just Trump being Trump, as we love to say, as we MAGA people love to say. I'm Heidi Harrison.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Cox. Good, what should I say? New Year's Eve. That's the best way to put it. New Year's Eve. Ready for next year? We are ready for next year. Who are the biggest political losers and winners of 2025? Mary Vogt is here, Vice President of Strategic Communications at the Heritage Foundation. How are you, Mary? Happy New Year.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
I was just thinking, as I was waiting for you to come on the show, I was just thinking about Minnesota. And doesn't Minnesota prove that Doge was correct all along?
Yeah, absolutely. It does. It absolutely does. What a mess. I mean, it's endless memes on social media, endless information that's coming out, and people are just shocked and astonished by it. That's definitely a winner that we had in the Trump administration, Doge cutting spending, actually looking into government programs and seeing what they're funding and how the money is being used. And so just dismantling those leftist groups is a huge win.
Yeah, I love the fact that he just flat out said, I'm cutting your funding in Minnesota, $185 million a year until they prove they deserve this money. This is fantastic. I mean, this is hashtag, this is what we voted for, right?
Absolutely. Like I said, the memes are just off the charts. I mean, I'm just laughing so hard about all the videos and all the memes that are coming out about it. But it's people, moderates, Democrats don't like misuse of taxpayer funds. That's the number one area that they go for abortion. They don't like abortion funding, taxpayer funded abortions, and they don't like the misuse of funds. And it's not just a Republican conservative issue. So what happened in Minnesota, the fraud under Tim Walz, under the Democrat leadership, is absolutely horrific. And good on the Trump administration and good on citizen journalists for exposing this, for breaking the story, for following it, for going to these quote daycare centers and seeing what they're actually all about.
One of the winners, according to this article for this year, was conservative media. And maybe it's also the independent journalists, like you just mentioned, Mary, about the Nick Shirleys of the world who have access and do these stories that maybe we never would have seen had it not been for some young YouTuber to try to do it themselves.
Absolutely. God bless Nick Shirley. I mean, we as conservatives and on the right, you know, we're always fighting against the mainstream media and the microphone that they have and the networks and, you know, the money that they have behind them. But it really is these aggressive, smart, you know, never give up type journalists that are just not going to take no for an answer. And so they're going in, they're seeing that something's not right, and they're asking questions. I mean, they're getting kicked out of locations. They're being threatened. Their credibility is put on the line. People go after them because they don't like the truth being told. We need more of that. We need more young individuals who are willing to go in and ask the tough questions. And it's not just that this is private money. Like I said, this is taxpayer money. We are allowed the right. Journalists are allowed the right to ask how this taxpayer funds are being used. Everybody wants to know. That's why this story broke so much. It's absolutely appalling.
It's amazing. We're speaking with Mary Vogt, Vice President of Strategic Communications at the Heritage Foundation. I'm Heidi Harrison from Mark Cox. You know, it's so funny, too, because the liberal media that used to control the narrative, they can't anymore. They're trying, but then you get a guy like Nick Shirley out there, and there are all kinds of people, citizen journalists, who put things on X and various things, Instagram and whatnot, and they can't control it anymore because it's out. It goes viral, and whoops, they're trying to do cleanup. They can't.
Absolutely. And they're frustrated by it because they call themselves, quote, journalists. And you know what? The time of just, you know, regurgitating DNC talking points is coming to an end. That's not journalism. There are journalists in foreign countries right now who are putting their lives, their families' lives on the line to report news because they care about journalistic integrity. We don't see that in the United States. We see political activists that just regurgitate talking points for a political party. And that's unfortunate. We need more Nick Shirleys, more conservative outlets that are willing to do the hard work to ask the tough questions and report honestly and fairly. That's what the American people want. All the time when I talk to my moderate friends, they just say, Mary, I don't know where to go for news. Like, I just want someone to tell me the truth and give me the facts with no political leaning. And that's what Americans are craving. And so God bless Nick Shirley for, you know, not giving up and not taking no for an answer and dealing with the backlash.
I would argue one of the winners of 2025 was the economy, but I think a lot of us will see the fruit of that labor next year, right, on the tax returns and Trump saying that maybe people could save, you know, upwards of $1,000, $2,000 when they go to file their taxes. You know, the midterms are going to be here before we know it. And there is also an interesting article in the Daily Signal that talks about these top midterm election issues. What are you anticipating? What's the Heritage Foundation looking as far as the biggest issues people will care about as we look to the midterm elections?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right on that. We're, you know, when it comes to economic policy, it's not so immediate. When it comes to border security and the border issue, we saw immediate successes on that, that Trump was able to close the border and incentivize individuals to go back to their home countries. And so we've seen those numbers. With economic policy, it's often a little bit delayed, but Trump is doing the right things. We talked, I think, last week on this program about affordability and about Gen Z. And I think it's not just a Gen Z concern. I think it's an everybody concern. I think a lot of what people want to hear from political parties and from the government is, how are you going to make my life easier? How can I afford groceries? How can I buy my first house? Those are the questions that people are being asked. And so, although we deal with so many complex issues in the news and in politics, and they're all important, it really just comes down to the economy and providing the best message and the best plan to show voters that we want to help make their lives easier. And so I think that's going to be the main overarching issue for the midterms. And it really needs to be smart policy and smart individuals talking about what we can do to, you know, help people. I mean, Trump's no tax on tips, no tax on overtime. That was huge. That was a campaign winner when he was campaigning. And you saw a lot of Democrats copy that and follow that, which is great. Welcome news. If you're an individual who has relied on tips, which I think most of us have at one point, it's a huge deal to not be able to have to pay taxes on them. Those
you know what?
Policies are winning.
That absolutely. I was just going to say that when Trump first announced that, he was in Las Vegas at an event, as you know, and immediately the Culinary Union, which is the strongest union in Vegas, it's 60,000 strong, denounced what he said. Our Democrat delegation denounced him. And of course, they had to completely change. They had to change everything because they realized, our rank and file, they want this. They're happy about this. You can't possibly denounce it at that point.
Yeah, it's popular amongst the workers because individuals are trying to make ends meet and they don't want to pay taxes on tips. So it's smart policies like that. I mean, Trump is a businessman. He's run a lot of businesses. He understands economics to a level that a lot of us don't understand it. And he's going to work hard and negotiate and push forward to, you know, promote these policies that help everyday Americans. That's
absolutely
what the midterms are going to be about, helping everyday Americans.
Let's hope so. Let's hope they can get that message out. Mary Vogt, Heritage Foundation. Thanks for joining the Mark Cox Morning Show.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop, assemble, and bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Heidi Harrison for Mark Cox. Happy New Year! 2026 promises to be. I think it's going to be great, but I always try to approach things in a positive way, and if it doesn't work out that way, then I'll deal with it. It's like anything else in life, right? I do find it interesting, and I think it's important, that Snap users are now going to be having their candy and soda and all this crap cut away from their benefits, which they always should have been. I mean, you never should have been able to get Doritos, Fritos, Oreos, anything that ends in OS or any garbage. I'm not putting those things down. People like to eat them. But it should be like, don't you think it should be, Kim, like oatmeal, orange juice, you know, not even the junky cereals. Just basic stuff. And if you want the extras, then you pay for it out of your own pocket.
Funny, but yeah, I agree. I am in full support of this whole restriction thing going on, and I wish it were nationwide. Mm-hmm. Look, if you're receiving government benefits and taxpayers are helping you pay for your groceries, doesn't mean that you don't need it. And I get it. You should have a leg up if you really, really need it. But that also means that there should be some level of control over what you are buying, right? Because that affects your health, and then you're then using money to go to the, you know, emergency room or have other issues. So
that's why
conservatives like small government, because if the government is wanting to dish out all these quote unquote free programs, that means they have more control. And that's what Democrats like, is they're willing to give up more in exchange for quote unquote for, again, free stuff. But yeah, I mean, come on, you shouldn't be using the SNAP benefits for total junk food, although I would argue that orange juice does have a lot of sugar in it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm thinking, orange juice, yeah, maybe.
But that's different than like a Snickers bar.
Right. And the whole thing, why is it? It makes no sense. You look around and you see low-income people tend to be, not always, but tend to be pretty big. Now, how is that possible?
Well, but it's because there's a lot of the cheap food, though, is really junky food.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I mean. Okay, they're eating garbage and they're sick. And I'm not trying to run anybody's life, but as you pointed out, and it's very important, they're costing everybody more money. They're costing the taxpayers more money going to the hospital, having high blood pressure, other issues associated with obesity, just not feeling good in general. I mean, I don't know about you, but I feel not very well if I eat junk food. I mean, that's how all of us are. And how many people, how many things that we see happening, and you can see them on X all day long, videos of people acting up, fighting, this and that, road rage. And you wonder how much of that is attributed, I'm sure attributable, it should be, to the junk people are eating. That's making them cranky, short-tempered, all these things that are not helping anybody.
Yeah, I mean, they've even talked about the dyes in food and the different chemicals, the preservatives and such that can really actually have an impact on your mental state. and leading to kids with ADHD and all sorts of other issues. I mean, how much money do we spend here in the United States on healthcare, and yet we're incredibly unhealthy?
Right, because we're giving people free food that's junk. The USDA came out and said the Trump administration is leading bold reform to strengthen integrity and restore nutritional value within the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Perfect. I love it. 18 states are doing this. 13 are going to start ultimately going to make changes later in the year. Missouri, it's going to be in October. But once again, if you want to buy junk, you go ahead and buy it with your own money, but you shouldn't be doing it. Anything they're defining it as soft drinks and candy, a preparation of sugar, honey, or other natural or artificial sweeteners in combination with chocolate, fruit, nuts, or other ingredients or flavorings in the forms of bars, drops, or pieces.
So how does this work then? So is it that if someone were to try to pay with their card, it would simply not allow them? Like, let's say they had a whole grocery card and they tried to slip in a candy bar. Would it just stop because it's triggered? Like, you can set it to where if it's a candy bar in that particular state, like, it would know that you're trying to buy a candy bar in one of the states where these SNAP benefit restrictions are in place? It can't be up to the store to patrol that, because that'll never happen.
I wondered the same thing. I'm guessing that the stores would have to code things differently. Would that be a wrong guess?
I mean, if you slip it in, again, like, let's just think a Snickers bar, and you have a $300 grocery bill, and you have other foods that are in compliant with whatever you can get, but then you put that in the middle of the, you know, the little, what am I, I cannot say words today. It is definitely the end of the year. The little, you know.
Barcode?
No. The little thing you put the
scanner,
whatever, the thing it rolls on,
the conveyor belt.
Oh my gosh! Wow,
Heidi, you're missing. Are you seeing the hand gestures?
How many people are screaming at the radio right now?
I'm like, what are we doing here?
Oh my gosh! Like, you put it in the middle of that intentionally, because so then it screws up the entire order. So all the people behind you have to wait because they have to get a manager, because they can't then scan the little Snickers bar, but they have to scan all the other groceries.
No, it'll be coded in.
Yeah. They know that's going to happen, though.
Like, Schnucks does rewards, right?
Right.
You can build up rewards, but you can't spend those rewards on alcohol. So it knows. So it would probably be something similar.
Got it. Okay, something like that, I would imagine. Yeah. Now, Luke Elzinga of the Food Action and Research Center, which I know you get their newsletters, they said that these restrictions will do nothing to make healthy food more affordable. No, it's affordable if you're getting it free. They also said it will increase stigma for SNAP participants. Can we bring back stigma? We should bring that back, because there was a time when if you got a school lunch, it was embarrassing. And if you got free food at the grocery store and had food stamps, it was embarrassing. And it ought to be. I'm not saying you're a bad person if you're poor, but when people are marching up there like everybody else and they're getting things free, I mean, there should be. We should know who's getting free stuff, I think.
Well, the idea is that you're not on it forever. And that's the problem, is that a lot of these benefit programs that were designed to be a crutch have become a long-term solution for people. Okay. And in some cases, not all, they work the system intentionally to make sure they continue with it. And I blame the government for part of that, where they set it up for example, it makes more sense for a woman to not be with the father of her children in some cases, because she can receive more benefits. So it's a problem at many levels.
Yeah, and that was a huge disaster for society. Encouraging women to have children and not have the fathers in the home. I mean, that has done more damage to society than any amount of government programs trying to make up the difference and giving you food stamps, you know, will ever benefit kids. It won't. You need a father in the home. That's obviously the ideal situation. But all of a sudden, you know, what happens is your father becomes a government. You know, you've got women who will complain and say, you know, I don't need no man. Oh, you do. You need a congressman to vote on your SNAP benefits. You sure do need a man to take care of you.
Daddy Warbucks.
At this point. Well, that's true. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And I've seen women getting online and talking about how they need this and they need that. Well, it's like, no, why didn't you marry the father of your children? Because that's what he's supposed to be doing, providing and protecting, not government.
But that's the problem, where the government, the way it's set up, is actually designed to make it, I don't know. There's just so many issues. It's a lot of it is the actual person, where they're just taking advantage of the system. But then also there does need to be some sort of a revamping of the way it's designed with the government.
Oh, yeah.
Stop encouraging the fathers to leave the home. I'm not saying that the fathers can blame the government saying, well, that's why I left. It's because I had to. It was actually so my family could get more benefits. No, there's some deadbeat dads out there who are leaving and abandoning their families.
Sure.
Or the woman in some cases.
right?
More often the man. And yeah, it's a huge problem. And the fatherless homes is a, I mean, wow, how many issues has that led to?
Oh, tons of issues. And if we were all more interdependent, wouldn't society be better? But instead, people want to say, oh, I'm independent. I remember one time years ago, when I was doing a morning show, I went down to the shelter with my then co-host to a homeless shelter. And there was a couple in the shelter who'd moved from California to Vegas. Things didn't work out like they thought. They wound up in a shelter, like a shelter kind of thing. Had a baby somehow while they were there. And I said, and they were only 300 miles from home. I said, well, why don't you guys go back to California where you have family? Oh, no, we want to make it on our own. That's what they said. And I was like, you're not making it on your own. You're living in a homeless shelter. Now you've had a baby. You're taking away resources from people who are legitimately homeless. You have an option. You have family. You're just too proud to go back there. And you want to make it on your own? You're not making it on your own. It was so very weird to me.
They were raising the baby in the homeless shelter?
At that point, yep. But they wanted to make it on their own. They didn't want to go back home with a tail between their legs to their family, which is stupid because meanwhile, someone else is supporting you.
Right. Linda, by the way, on Facebook is answering my question about how are they scanning it if you put a candy bar mm-hmm. in the middle of a huge order. She's saying it is coded different, that it debits your EBT card for allowed food, then the amount left, like chips, soda, things like that.
Okay,
you pay the balance
it.
With cash or your other card.
Thank you, Linda. We appreciate that. Well, I think that this is a good first step. You know, you want to buy your donuts and your whatever you want to eat whatever you want to. Just don't put it on my tab. That's all I'm saying. I'm Heidi here.
Kim on a whim.
This morning, we've been talking about the top stories of 2025 as we wind down here and we get ready to welcome in the start of a new year, 2026. We've seen New Zealand, Australia already been ringing in the new year past midnight there now, which is wild. But getting ready for the ball drop here in the U.S. And, you know, obviously the big stories that are still fresh in our minds, like this crazy Somali Minnesota fraud, $9 billion potentially stolen, the Epstein files, Bill Clinton looking really cozy in the pool in the hot tub. Those are clearly the big stories also of 2025. But there's some that you may have forgotten about. And earlier in Kim and a Whim, we went over the top seven, what I believe to be seven of the 10 biggest stories. And I also asked you if you have something that maybe I've forgotten about to write it in, you know, on Facebook, YouTube, Rumble X, where we're live every morning. You can also text it on our text line, 314-241-9797. Here are some of them that I had mentioned earlier just to kind of recap. But if you listen on the Odyssey app, you can hear kind of more information on each one. The Blue Origin rocket launch on April 14th, that was with Gayle King and Katy Perry, where she said she was an astronaut for the 10-minute trip there. Pope Francis dying April 21st, and then, of course, Pope Leo being elected May 8th because he was the first pope from the United States. That's a pretty big deal. That really awful crash between the military helicopter and the plane in D.C., everyone died. 67 people on board between the helicopter and the plane died. The government shutdown October 1st through November 12th. That was the longest shutdown in U.S. history, lasted 43 days. The Texas flooding on July 4th, 135 people dead, so many of them children. Camp Mystic there in Texas, Kerr County, Guadalupe River in that area rose 26 feet in 45 minutes. No warning signals were sent out. They don't even have a flood warning system in place in Kerr County, which I'm sure they've changed now. Number five, I said, was Doge and all the cuts they were making, which then made a lot of people mad, so they started protesting Elon Musk, trying to light the Teslas on fire and keying them, and then people were putting stickers. Heidi, I know you mentioned that people you know would put stickers on their car saying,
yeah.
I may have a Tesla, but I don't support Musk, and I don't even
like
Trump.
Right.
Please don't
mm-hmm.
key my car.
Yeah, I bought this before he lost his mind, yeah.
Yeah. Liberation Day, number four, and that was when the tariffs took effect. April 2nd, I believe, was the initial day, and then it got pushed back to April 5th. That was the 10% baseline tariff on all countries, but then some of the bigger ones that have been putting these crazy astronomically high tariffs on the United States for years, and we've done nothing, he would increase them, and there was kind of a battle going on. I remember China was a big one where, you know, they were making all sorts of threats, and, you know, every time we would up it, they would up it, and it turns out all these months later that Trump was right. From what I've seen, maybe they say prices have gone up in some cases, but overall, I would say the tariffs have been a big success.
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. It's leveling the playing field. That's all we've asked for.
Right. All right, so now I wanted to cover here in this final segment for the day of Kim on a Whim, I wanted to cover what I believe are the top three biggest stories. And this one was big, but it was so long ago that it's kind of hard to remember. The California wildfires.
Oh, yeah.
January Pacific 7th. Do you remember those, Heidi? To January 31st. Oh,
yeah. Pacific Palisades and all those areas that were burned. Yep.
Right. And it was 14 of these awful fires wreaked havoc. And, you know, one of the biggest things that came out of that was the terrible leadership of Karen Bass and Gavin Newsom. Because remember, Gavin Newsom, I guess, cared about some little fish species that was on the brink of extinction. And so to save the fish, he had, I guess, not sent water, like cut off the access to water at certain hydrants in Southern California. So when all these million-dollar homes are going up in flames, the firefighters are rushing there trying to put them out. And oh, what do you know? They hook up the hose to the fire hydrant and nothing comes out.
Yeah, well, there was also a huge reservoir that was not repaired and not filled like it should have been. That was a huge factor, too. That's once again, poor leadership.
And then you have the insurance companies. That's been a complete mess. I mean, I know in Florida this is going on where there's a lot of natural disasters, right, with flooding, things like that, the hurricanes, where a lot of these insurance companies are saying it's not lucrative enough for us to even insure your home. So they're saying, I'm out. We're not even going to represent homeowners here in this area. And I worry that that's what's happening in California. So all kinds of issues with insurance companies there. People, I would imagine, still dealing with that. Estimated cost of damage was upwards of $275 billion.
Yeah. And hardly anything's been rebuilt.
And didn't they say it was some idiot who was lighting fires? And that's what initially started it?
Well, they've had a lot of problems in that area with homeless people lighting fires in the canyons. That's been a factor. That and PG&E, their Pacific Gas and Electric, has also been responsible for some of the fires because they won't cut the trees back. They won't do this. So once again, no matter what you say, it's bad leadership. Not getting these people out of the canyons who shouldn't be there. Not taking care of the power lines. All of it goes back to bad leadership.
Yep. All right, number two, I have the enforcement of the illegals in our country, getting them the heck out of here. So ICE deportation, then of course, that sparked protests. So then Trump sends the National Guard in, which really, really bothered Gavin Newsom and Maxine, Mad Maxine, as I know Mark likes to call her. And do you remember, I want to play the soundbite for you. Do you remember her trying to claim this? Listen.
Don't think that somehow because they called out the National Guard, there was violence. There was no violence.
Wait, what?
I was on the street. I know. Get it straight. And don't just rely on what you're being told or the few incidents that you saw.
All right, Mad Maxine. Do you remember the videos of the protesters setting things on fire, chucking rocks?
Yep.
As people would drive by? You're right. It wasn't violent.
No.
Not at all.
Of course they're going to stop when a member of Congress is standing there. Of course they're going to stop for a minute, but we know what's really going. Does she live where these things were happening? Of course not.
She was really angry at that whole thing that was happening, and so many people were rushing to the defense of all these illegals. And remember, they were canceling different, because that happened in June, and they started canceling July 4th events because they were saying that ICE is going to come and get you. And so they were telling all the illegals, anyone who's foreign, basically, even though they're not deporting legal citizens, they told anybody basically who's not initially from here, hide in your house and don't go outside.
Well, you know what? If you're here illegally, you know what? You should be heading home.
Yeah.
Self-deporting. What's something like 2 million people have self-deported, right? That's the number I heard most recently.
Today's the deadline where you can get $3,000. They tripled amount to incentivize more people to leave.
Right.
All right. Number one, the biggest story, in my opinion, for 2025. Here we go.
It is my great dishonor to be the person that says this and breaks this to you on television. But President Donald Trump is announcing on Truth Social, the great and even legendary Charlie Kirk is dead. No one understood or had the heart of the youth in the United States of America better than Charlie. He was loved and admired by all, especially me, and now he is no longer with us. Melania and my sympathies go out to his beautiful wife, Erica, and his family. Charlie, we love you. Charlie Kirk, according to the President of the United States, is dead.
I have chills listening to that again. I cried. I was on maternity leave when that broke. And that just gutted me. I really admired Charlie and what he did for the younger generation, his incredible knowledge.
And the
effect that he had, Heidi. 2.4 million Bibles sold in the U.S. in September after his death, a 36% jump from the same month in 2024. Top,
so great.
Top trending Google search this year was Charlie Kirk. And the, I don't know if you saw this, but the judge just this week ruled that there a redacted transcript and audio from some closed door meeting with the suspect, Tyler Robinson, can be released to the public. And I guess it, part of this says that his attorney, Tyler's attorney, had been saying, hey, can he have one hand unshackled in the court hearing so that he can take notes?
Yeah, that was pretty interesting, too. Yeah, it was a terrible thing. I emceed a dinner last year where Charlie was the keynote speaker, and he was the nicest guy in the world. We did a Q&A and everything after dinner, and he was very nice, very unassuming, just a great guy. I can't say I knew him well, but he was fantastic. Who knew that? I mean, he had less than a year to live. You wouldn't think that of somebody 35 years old.
And he's 32.
Well, he was, I thought he was 35.
No, 32, and he had two young children.
Oh, yeah,
his
that.
Wife, his
that
wife, was... Erica, is 35, or 36. I think she just turned 36
okay.
or 37, yeah,
well, yeah. It's a real loss for society, no question about that. Thanks, Kim. I'm Heidi Harrison for Mark Cox.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.